Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us on this Monday, the 4th of April. Very nice to have you with us. And it's a crabby morning.
It's amazing. we were in Sharon, Massachusetts this weekend.
Yeah. And how's everything in Sharon?
Oh my God! It was like these massive, massive snowflakes.
Well, we had a little bit of snow yesterday. How'd you fare in the Berkshires yesterday?
There was several inches outside of our house, maybe 8 inches, and then that just sort of disappeared because the road was all heated up and everything like that. Then this morning, I got started at my usual little early 2:15 in the car, and the first snowflake did not appear until I got into Albany.
There you go.
It's prophetic.
And now there are a lot of snowflakes.
It's because you're wearing that hat, Alan.
Which,
if
Al,
you could only see what this looks like.
Yes, we don't have the stream up yet.
Of the North.
Rosemary Armeo, I was in traffic, and I just got in, and Rosemary called me and said, I'm on 70, or I think she said she was on 70. I think she said she was in Troy. She said, I'm stuck in traffic, and I'll be late. And I said, well, I may either be in front of you or behind you. I don't know which. We'll see who gets there first. But so Rosemary will be here in a few moments. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Well, good morning, Joe. I'm here and ready to move.
Great.
Libby's also here, and the big thing is coming up.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be there. So.
And Libby's a big partisan.
What's the big thing?
The big primary.
Oh, yeah, the New York primary.
But I'm not gonna be there.
And Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant, and she joins us each and every Monday and Wednesday, except for this Wednesday, and we'll be and the dates go on.
Right.
Very nice to have you with us, as always. And again, Rosemary will be with us when she can safely make it to the mothership. All right, so let's talk a little bit about presidential politics. Hillary Clinton in our region today, going to be at the Cohoes High School, and also, I believe this is still on the schedule, going to be speaking with Democrats at the state capitol.
Yeah, all weekend long, I've been getting stuff saying, "Did you get your credentials yet to talk to Hillary?" So I didn't. So I'm not going to be talking to Hillary.
Would you like them?
What'd you say?
Would you like to?
No, we have reporters to do that kind of work.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But I am interested in that the polling shows that Hillary is, that Bernie, I think, Joe, you could check this on your magic machine, I think it's like 10 points down and coming up.
Bernie's 10 points down?
Yeah.
In New York?
Yeah. In New York.
It's going to be a blowout for Hillary.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You don't think so?
Oh, I think there is a groundswell, a Bernie sort of groundswell from young New Yorkers. Now, he said, and he's right, if it's all a matter of turnout. If the young people who are wildly for him show up, he could confound everybody. I think that's what happened in Minnesota.
And this has been the case, but this has been the case that he's been making all along, right?
Yeah.
It all depends on turnout.
Well, it does all depend on turnout. Remembering that in the presidential election itself, give or take, a little less than 50% of the eligible voters show up. So that's not so good for democracy.
So I'm looking at the poll here, and Hillary Clinton, according to the latest poll, CBS News poll, which was just released, is up 12 points.
Yeah.
In New York.
10, 12 points. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So
I'll take it.
What about Wisconsin?
I think that's a crapshoot. I think it's up for grabs.
2 points ahead is obviously within the margin of error. Bernie Sanders, 2 points ahead in Wisconsin. And how big of a loss would that be if it were?
Well, it wouldn't be helpful, I can tell you that much, if Hillary loses it. Wisconsin is a strange state, as I put it before. You guys started kidding me about Speaker Froehlich.
But from the old days. But the truth is that
I don't hear Alan for some reason. Is Alan? There we go. Okay.
Yeah, good. Oh, thank you, Joe.
Thank you. I think you're singing.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
What should it say on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The blue
but you were, but yeah, you were. You oh. were muted.
Mine was off. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard.
So
me
okay.
No, you're good.
Okay. So the Wisconsin political scene is interesting in that the Republicans can be really right, and the Democrats can be really left, and that is why they
no
call.
The
that's why they call Madison the People's Republic of Madison,
right.
for example.
That's true.
So that goes a long way to explain it. New York is a sort of a middling place where, you know, centrists go out and vote, and the political parties are such that, you know, they're organized.
When and we also, of course, will look at the Republican contest in Wisconsin. We see a
potential loss for Trump.
A potential loss for Trump. It was after a very bad week. 10 points currently down in the polls, although some polls indicate that is closing, which is interesting. And then, of course, there's also those who said that this shows that some have said this is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump because he had such a bad week. But don't you think it's just we haven't seen him have a bad week yet?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
In other words, the real question to me is he vote? As the polls are closing, people are deciding whether they want to give a certain digit to the political process in the country, hence they vote for Trump, or whether they want a true, as they see it, conservative. I don't see it that way, but true conservative in Cruz, and therefore that seems to be the. That seems to be the fight.
The Mr. Cruz, who leads Trump by about 10 percentage points in Wisconsin, is field testing a new playbook exploiting Mr. Trump's growing unpopularity with
women. Can you
women.
Imagine?
I can't even fathom that.
A gambit that crested last week with the introduction of a Women for Cruz coalition headlined by
his wife, his mother, and his kids.
Yes.
The only thing I can say about that is only a single word that, and it's not even in English, that describes that. Chutzpah.
Chutzpah, yeah.
Yeah.
And a little mashuga, too, I think.
No, not mashuga. He thinks he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He thinks that because so many women are against Trump, that he can say he's for women. But if you look up that guy's record
He's horrible.
On life and everything else, it's unbelievable.
He's horrible on choice. He's horrible on gay rights. He's just, he truly is the radical Christian rights darling in terms of their politics.
And but
he's more dangerous.
But he wins in that department because his campaign manager didn't rough up a woman.
Well, it's true. It's true. I mean, he can say, I respect women, but all we need to do is talk to his college roommate in the story that was in the Times about how he didn't really respect women. But that's a whole other story, and that'll be for the general if he gets there.
And by the way, that's an interesting, I don't know, you did have it on your list, and that is, Joe, that you sent us last night.
Yes.
I think I mentioned reading it in the middle of the night. Joe never sends out the list till I'm asleep for 3 hours, so which is fine, because I don't
care.
You
wait for the news to happen.
I don't care.
Okay.
But there is that he, Trump, despite the fact that he may well get the nomination, is getting killed in the general election polls. General election polls getting killed.
So that brings us to John Kasich, who is being pressured by both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, but especially Donald Trump, who apparently this came up in his meeting with RNC officials, Republican National Committee officials, on Friday at in Washington, Thursday, I guess, I'm sorry, where he is calling for John Kasich to get out of the race and to drop out because he has no way to get the number of delegates needed. I want the quote here. Kasich shouldn't be allowed to continue, and the RNC shouldn't allow him to continue, according to Donald Trump. Rand Paul could have stayed in, and he had nothing. Rubio could have stayed in. Bush could have stayed in, Mr. Trump said. They all could have stayed in. They could have just stayed in. That's all he's doing. And why is he is a guy allowed to run? All he's doing is he just goes from place to place and he keeps on running and losing, and it's very unfair. He doesn't have to run to take my votes.
And it's my votes, they belong to me.
It's another 5-year-old schoolyard taunt.
Well, what I love about this is, for example, Cruz has decided, and I think Mitt Romney has decided, and I think Speaker Ryan may have decided that if in fact they it gets to be an open convention, then anything can happen. Now, obviously, there will be those who say if you're a middle of the road candidate, as Kasich is. Right? That you have a chance.
Then he really isn't. He's a nicer man.
Okay, now you can say he isn't, but the general feeling among the American populace and polling and everything else is that he is.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, he's not dropping out. He says, okay, if this convention goes into a multi-ballot thing, they don't like Cruz, they don't like Trump, they'll like me.
I'm
staying in.
And his spokesperson said, since he thinks Trump thinks it's such a good idea, we look forward to Trump dropping out before the convention, Trump living up to his own self-declared standard as the best for the party, that he will lose the White House by a historic margin to Hillary Clinton and also cause Republicans to lose control of the Senate.
Yeah. Well, I will remind everybody that Lyndon Johnson beat the pants off Barry Goldwater.
Right, right, right.
And look how he ended up.
Yeah. Well, he had an albatross going in, but not
but he didn't play it well.
No. But nonetheless, you know, it's about what's going to happen in November. And I think we all would rather see Hillary than Donald or Ted or Kasich.
And then I heard the other thing that was making the rounds on the Sunday news shows yesterday. We'll talk about this just for a second, which was Democrats complaining that they were pleased to see Trump have a bad week, but they hope that he doesn't burn out too quickly.
Yeah, well, no kidding. They want him to be the nominee.
Yeah,
we're guaranteed a victory.
Well, I think if it's either Cruz or
we're guaranteed victory.
They've got this thing made.
Right.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
If it's Kasich, whether or not there is a chance that he could win.
I think there is a chance that he could win.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a much more honest campaign. It'll be a campaign between two people who will be respectful, and we won't end up in the gutter. And, you know, at the debates. I mean, I watched.
You say the gutter, and the only thing I can think of when you say the gutter is the pig got up and slowly walked away.
I don't know what that's from.
It's a poem.
Okay,
wonderful
fine.
Poem.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
You just think told
there's something about the pig, I believe.
Oh, the
was
pig?
It?
Well, you know, I don't eat pigs, so it's okay.
So let's talk about North Dakota real quick in the 3 minutes we have before we go over to break. North Dakota is not accustomed to being one of the on-the-way stations to the path to the White House, given its meager number of delegates and its tiny remote media markets. It is rare for a presidential campaign to give the state the time of day. But Senator Cruz on Saturday addressing the state's Republican convention and leading the crowd of several thousand to a standing ovation with thunderous appeal to North Dakota's sudden relevance. It's entirely possible that the men and women gathered here will decide the entire primary and decide the nomination. This is North Dakota's time to shine in the spotlight, and one of the most unmistakable signs that this could be a contested convention where the state's 28 delegates, barely 1% of the overall total, could make a difference in who wins the nomination.
Sure.
Because of the unusual way that North Dakota selects its delegates to the convention, it may not be immediately clear which candidate made the biggest impression. The state Republicans do not hold a primary or caucus. Instead, the party activists who streamed into Fargo this weekend will elect a slate of 25 delegates on Sunday. And so those delegates have been selected.
Yeah, but nobody knows who they're going to.
But they have not declared.
No. Right. This is really interesting now from a political science-y sort of point of view.
Right.
This business of do the delegates get selected by the people who are running? In many cases, the answer is no. The Republican State Committee selects them, And we know whoever signs the check, as we used to say, calls the tune. And it may well be that he is deprived, Trump is deprived on trickery by the Republican State Committee, who is in each case, who say, okay, you guys, you know, maybe on the first ballot, but if we get to a second ballot, all bets are off. And maybe even on the first ballot, we'll just withhold enough so that he doesn't get it. And that's why I saw him this weekend. I tend not to watch the morning shows, but they had the Republican chairman, the chairman of the Republican
Reince
National
Priebus.
Committee. Yeah, what's his name again?
Reince Priebus.
Yeah,
I don't know
like
how
that
happened.
Well, he was on virtually every Sunday morning show saying nada, nothing, nothing. And doing double talk. And talking about his time with Trump, clearly that did not go well.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. That conversation did
that,
not go well.
I find that amusing, because you're absolutely right. I find that amusing because at the beginning it was a very nice chat. Everybody was very cordial. Everybody was fine. And then over the last 3 days, it's just sort of eroded into
to what really happened.
Nothing got done. Nobody talked about anything. Everybody's
sulked. What I found interesting is that in one of these articles we read this morning, they talked about Republican superdelegates. And I thought that wasn't the case.
I didn't think they had super.
They may just be making a comparison.
Look, it sounded like.
We'll do our homework.
Well, in either case, it is going to be a fascinating look at what happens. Because if they cheat them, Dewey and Howe, if they cheat them, then what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a whole lot of people who are ticked off. And then maybe there'll be a third party. There may be.
It could very well. Trump has disavowed his loyalty vow. So.
No, I think Trump's got a bad rap on that, to be honest with you. I think what happened there.
We have about 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, I think he's got a bad rap. I think what happened is there. The others said it also. So all of a sudden, it's Trump is disavowing. What about the other two?
Yeah, right. They are. They all are. But nonetheless.
Well. Okay,
He's the only one who can mount a third-party
candidacy. That's right. He said he wouldn't run a third-party campaign.
Right. They all did in the beginning.
But he has the money to do it.
We'll be back right after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. Very nice to have you with us. Very nice to welcome into the conversation Rosemary Armeo,
who is a
journalism professor at the University at Albany, investigative reporter and master driver. And we thank you very much for.
We didn't have any winter. People are out of practice. They just don't know how to do it.
So I assume you were listening in the car.
I was.
Okay. So do you want to catch up real quick?
Yeah, I think.
You
want to
weigh in on all this?
It's way overblown. It's one small contest, and it's only getting the attention because it's the only one this Tuesday. Way overblown. Bernie's pulling close, but it doesn't matter. He has to win every contest from Wisconsin on by 12% or more. There's no sign he's even close to winning.
At least 59%.
At least. So he's just, it's just dreaming. And it's all nice because the Democrats think it's great that he continues to run. It is an excellent contest on the Democratic side. And what other way to get in the news than to have a contest? Mm-hmm. Whereas on the Republican side, we have stupid Trump saying Kasich should get out. Because he's just taking my votes. So it's quite a contrast, once again, between Democrats and Republicans.
That was very nice.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Not that you have any skin in the game or anything like that.
I have admitted to that. And if one more person says my biases are showing, I'm going to just scream. The whole point is to tell you what my biases are. Wonderful story this weekend, an interview with Bernie Frank, Barney Frank, but he was talking about Bernie.
Yes.
And what he said was, I'm not impressed. He was in Congress for 30 years. What did he do?
It's true.
It's pretty interesting.
Well, he's the conscience of his party. He's the conscience of the
independent party?
Independent to the left. Yes, he is. And, we just got a long letter from somebody who's listing all of Bernie's wins, how well he's done, Idaho, 78-21, Utah, 79-20, Alaska, 82-18.
There are no people there. There are a few delegates there. Let's talk about Florida. His big win is Michigan, I think. He did fabulous there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wisconsin
is a good.
Let's
not
forget.
I think I'm annoyed because Hillary keeps getting taunted by. I guess it was Billy Crystal, the conservative sage. Seems like an oxymoron.
Bill Crystal.
Is the comedian. I like him much better.
Okay.
Bill Crystal goes, what is it that Hillary ever accomplished? When there actually is an answer to that. And Barney Frank is now saying, What did Bernie accomplish? And actually, you could actually say that about any of the politicians who are still in the running right now.
Joel says, Dr. Shartok, you mentioned that if the Republican Party does not pick Trump, would destroy the party. Don't you think the same thing is happening in the Democratic Party? It seems Bernie has more excitement and popularity, but Hillary is already chosen. Wouldn't this be the same destructive move by the establishment left?
Nope.
I love that news. Those words, the establishment left.
Boy, right, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so like that.
All right. You want to do more?
If there were, okay. John
said. We got a lot of letters.
John said, what did Bernie do? There is a cost to refrain on conservative AM radio. What has Mrs. Clinton accomplished?
Didn't I just say that's like an echo? Lovely.
I still have not heard a good answer in terms of actual accomplishments versus experience. Her biggest accomplishment is determining wind speed and direction and voting accordingly. And that's from John. And the people say the same thing, of course, about Bernie, that he hasn't done anything either.
Right. 30 years in Congress.
Okay. And then I'm looking down the thing. Okay. Jeffrey says, Trump is a good Democrat. As a good Democrat, I am supposed to want the Republican candidate who would present the easiest path for my eventual nominee. However, I feel my role as a good American should come first. I find the candidacy of Donald Trump so dangerous and harmful that I don't want to see him as their nominee because I worry about his style of politics in the general election, not to mention a certain element of the American public that he has brought out of the woodwork. And that's from Jeffrey. Except that when you think about it, he is losing so badly in the general polls. And by the way, I've asked every one of my friends, who tend to mirror my general feelings, gun to your head, who would you rather see as president of the United States? You know, Cruz or Trump? And every one of them has said Trump.
And then... Do you ask them if they will vote for Hillary in November?
Oh, there's no question that they will. There's no question that they will. I'm just trying to figure out who is the greater anathema to people, you know, Trump or Cruz?
Yeah, it's a tie game.
It's not tied. I mean, I think Cruz is such a classic right-wing conservative and therefore, you know, an anathema, as I said before, to the middle of the roaders and Democrats, far worse than Trump, who they know makes deals and could be brought along, and they could possibly make a deal with him at some point. But of course, people misassessed Hitler, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he is Hitler, because I'm not, but they did misassess Hitler.
It's easy to misassess a demagogue. Especially if they
come on. You know that there are people who say Hillary's a demagogue. There are people who say, you know, that Bernie is a demagogue. I don't know. Oh, more. Joe's give me the look. Okay. Anthony says, good morning, panel. Do you think the Democratic Party would split along with the Republicans, making it a four-horse race come November? That's from Anthony. No, I do not. Joe, something funny there?
Just a response to your question just came in from Stephen.
Oh, Stephen. Let's go back to him. Stephen, Cruz or Trump? I'll take the bullet, Steve. Yeah, there are some things we don't talk about on the radio, but I'll tell you. That's interesting. Okay, Bill says, Sanders supported, I guess he means supporters. Forget Clinton has received 2.5 million more votes so far in the primaries.
She's begun to say it in her stump speech now.
Right.
Okay. M says.
Just to remind you.
Am I interrupting? Because if I am, please finish your sentence.
Oh, just keep reading.
Okay. These are sort of sotto, behind the hand comments. Is that what you mean?
Just keep reading.
I think she was just clarifying.
Right. I wrote a column once, my best column ever, about how my mother taught me to speak under your breath. No?
Okay. Just speak above your breath and keep reading the letters, please.
Stop. Can you try to hide your favoritism? This is the Scream Rosemary. Can you try to hide your favoritism for HRC? Do not discount Bernie. Do not give Bernie supporters your sympathy. If you and the DNC had a brain in your head, oh, that's tough, you could see this as the future of the party.
This is what democracy is about, one's ability to express one's opinion. I will come to
I will suppress my favoritism as soon as Alan does.
Well, no. I have made it clear, and I think I've been fair about this. I'll bet Libby will admit this. I've been fair about this. I have said from the very beginning, I voted for Bernie in the primary. I did. Yeah. Because I think Bernie happens to be right on the issues. But I also am somewhat worried about who is the better candidate. Now, I know I'm going to get 13,000 letters about polls that people have done and the rest of it. Who represents the mainstream, which is able to get the people in the middle? And I've said that right from the very beginning. And I think Hillary offers an alternative to Bernie in that way. But I did vote for Bernie because I think he's right.
Okay, fine. Yeah. And I voted for Hillary because I think she's right.
About taking the money from the... About sort of taking the money from the big corporations to give so-called speeches.
He's been taking money from...
Oh, come on. Two wrongs don't make a right. Cut it out.
So give me a break.
Oh, no, you give me a break.
There's nothing wrong with speaking to big organizations for a lot of money. Everybody should do it, and it does do it.
And Matt from Robbinsville says, is there any chance of two third-party candidates, Trump and Sanders? Could the Sanders' only chance of actually getting elected? The answer is no. There is no such chance.
No.
And Jeffrey says, I'm a good Democrat. I think I read that one. We did that one already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Could the Dems split? No. And Robert says, the notion of a contested convention is wishful thinking on the part of the Democrats and disaffected Republicans, and Dems shouldn't underestimate Trump's ability to move to the center and appear reasonable and pleasant. And that's Robert from Red Hook. All right. And too late to get on. We did that. And we did that one. Has anyone been polled on their cell phone? And landlines, phones, the main source of polling. I've never been polled on myself. Otherwise, how else to explain Hillary's polling numbers being so off when she lost in Michigan? Well, no, I think that Michigan loss was very significant in terms of polling.
People do get polled on their cell
numbers. Yeah, but now they have worked in the cell phones for polls. But I think they're not exact. In other words, I think what happens is, A, you have to rely on people you've gotten on the phone before in other elections. That's part of it. B is you just start dialing numbers, you know, and because I think it's true. I mean, when I say to my kids that we have a landline in the house, they say, what are you doing that for? You know, it's unheard of. Okay.
All right, you're off the air again.
Oh, what do I do? Do I press something? No.
You're good.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate
that. Okay. Well, let's just take a break. We'll be right back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support comes from Brattleboro Retreat, offering specialized trauma, mental health, and addiction treatment for police, fire, military veterans, EMTs, and corrections personnel. BrattleboroRetreat.org. Berkshire Bank, providing banking, insurance, and wealth management with over 90 locations in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont. Berkshire Bank, America's most exciting bank. BerkshireBank.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. And from Berkshire Children and Families, Pittsfield and the Pioneer Valley, for over 100 years providing services to families and children, actively recruiting foster families and adoptive families. BerkshireChildren.org.
A group of news media outlets published articles on Sunday based on what they said were 11.5 million leaked documents from a Panama law firm that helped some of the world's wealthiest people, including politicians, athletes, and business moguls, establish offshore bank accounts. The German newspaper said that its reporters had obtained the documents from a confidential source. Then they shared the files with other media organizations like The Guardian and the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. In an article, the investigative journalism organization said the documents revealed the offshore accounts of 140 politicians and public officials, including a dozen current and former world leaders and several individuals with close ties to President Vladimir Putin of Russia. The organization said reporters at 100 news media outlets working in 25 languages had used the documents to investigate the law firm and its clients, including political figures in countries like Iceland, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia. It is not illegal in many cases to have offshore bank accounts, but they are used in some instances by wealthy individuals and criminals to hide money and business transactions and to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah, I had a small part in this, editing a story out of Azerbaijan this weekend that came from these documents. And what it shows, it's typical of what has happened. The daughters of the president of Azerbaijan own the controlling shares of a gold mine company that has just like cut off water for the people, and all the money has gone to these incredibly rich and powerful elites. And this is happening now in Iceland. Stories are coming out today out of Moldova. Of course, the Russian ones are incredibly interesting because Putin has ties that we have long thought were there, but now here's the documents, the actual proof of his involvement. They are amazing. I would love to know how that leak occurred. It's as big as Snowden, who has been touting them on his tweets today. And you're going to see stories on this all week long.
I wonder if it's going to touch the United States.
There is some information, according to what I have heard, about several cases in the United States where material has disappeared. This company in Panama killed information. Threw it into their shredder because of law cases involved in the United States.
Well, that was what I was wondering, clients. How that information came to the Panama law firm.
Yeah. Well, the law firm is, they have information on organizing the offshore organization. And they do that. They set up an offshore, which is indeed legal in most cases, but it's beloved by criminals because you can hide who actually is the owner of a company. So that's how the law firm got involved. But how the information came from the law firm to the hands of journalists, I do not know. I don't think we'll find that for a while.
Only takes one person.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So I just wanted to interrupt the flow of the conversation, which is sometimes what I do, from Wesley, who said each state has three, the Republican superdelegates. Each state has three superdelegates to the Republican National Convention, the state party chair, and two RNC members.
Aha. Uh-huh. That was to your question earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Smart listeners.
Back to what you guys are talking about. That's very interesting because one of the great things about, I've always said about democracy, not that what I said is great, but that you can't have a democracy. You can't really have a democracy if people don't know what's going on.
That's true.
I mean, how can you possibly vote intelligently if you don't know? And that's a big problem in this country.
Well, it's lovely to say that it's true, and Panama's guilty, so is Cyprus. But one of the biggest places for offshore companies and havens for criminals is the state of Delaware.
Yeah,
it's true. Because there's no corporate taxes.
Guess where? So right. There's tremendous amount of mail on Bernie versus Hillary. Saul says, I just want you to know, I hear little discussion about both blatant and latent anti-Semitism, which will harm Bernie's chances in a general election. I haven't heard a lot of it.
No, but I think it's there. I don't think you'll hear it being voiced directly that I won't vote for the Jew. It'll be, they will frame him as a commie pinko fag, as I've said before, on the air, and endemically in that is the Jew part because of the
New
commie,
York values.
Yeah, the New York values.
Do you think Hillary
would
lose votes because her daughter married a Jew?
No. If that was the case, Trump would lose
so
votes
Trump,
because he misses his new grandson's
and
bris.
He missed the bris.
Which is outrageous.
I read it in the Times, and I said, I wonder what percent of America knows what a bris is.
I know, it's true. It's true.
But you'll explain it to them, won't you, Lib?
Sure.
It's like a baptism.
No, no. Not really.
With the knife. With the knife.
Yeah, it's a baptism by fire. The bris is the ceremonial ceremonial event 8 days after a Jewish male baby is born, where a rabbi called a moil performs a little surgery, taking off the foreskin of the baby's.
Now, wasn't there
penis.
Some kind of...
And there are problems with
wasn't
this.
Wasn't there some kind
There are problems what? With this because what? of herpes, and there's been some real bad issues
well,
that have come up.
What was that issue? I forget.
Well, the other part of this is that...
You're the president of your congregation.
Yes, I know, only for another 6 weeks. Okay. Is that there is then contact between...
yes.
Fluid.
Yes.
Between the mouth of the rabbi and the penis, and there's a kiss that's done, and yeah, or something to that effect, and there has been some problems with that in the.
I'm not sure you're helping
Bernie. Neither am I. Look at that. Okay.
Okay.
There's been problems with this, with reported cases of herpes in the babies. It's been very. It's been bad. It's been bad.
Hey Ray, you want to take over?
Okay. And I'm now going to be shot by every member of the Jewish community
in
Albany.
Well, no, it's true.
But it is true. I mean, it's
been
documented. Yeah. There have been stories. And there's also this whole movement of not doing this because of what of people think it's butchery. And you know,
we could have slid off the road, Rosemary.
I know. I thought Alan that was the worst thing was going to happen to me today.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't have answered.
Wow. All right.
That's what the bris is. And
that's a lot of information
that,
you
isn't
just
it, though?
Wow.
I know.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Hey, no problem.
It's all good. And
there you go, Bernie. That
and,
was right.
And by the way, this all came out of our conversation about offshore
accounts.
Yeah. So
yeah. Right.
There you go.
No, but I do want to say I found it fascinating that Trump espouses himself to be so close to his family and that he loves his daughter and his Jewish son-in-law, and he missed the bris.
Oh, come on. He's campaigning for president of the United States.
You
people
know,
miss things.
I missed the
funeral of my best friend.
Well,
things happen.
He wants to be home to sleep in his own bed every night. That's what one of the articles says.
Yeah,
he jets home every night. He could have jetted back to be at the bris and gone back to Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. The way he may see this is that this will determine whether this Wisconsin vote will determine whether he's going to be president of the United States or not.
Or
so
if he's like my grandfather,
who almost
passed out at my brother's bris, he just didn't want to be there.
Yeah, could be.
You're saying it's, we only have about 4 minutes left, but you're saying it's way overplayed.
Trump can lose Wisconsin and he will still possibly get the nomination. He is not ruled out. I think that's way overplayed by the
but
New
we
York
were
Times
talking,
and others.
We were talking about North Dakota. But aren't we in a phase now where every vote and every delegate, because it's so close and because it could become contested, that every contest is
but there's a bigger question here, and that is whether he has jumped the shark, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whether this thing is now, with the women, the latest comments on women and the rest,
abortion,
has really turned things around so that he's regarded now as a joke as opposed to
His negatives are climbing within the Republican
electorate. And he always had
electorate.
High negatives altogether.
Right. But within the Republican electorate, I mean, the fact that in Wisconsin this story talked about how they pretty much laughed Sarah Palin off the stage. And
that was hilarious. I watched that. That was
and,
hilarious.
Well, she's, you know, probably not lucid, but
they laughed at her.
Yeah, they laughed at her.
They withheld
and did anybody take
a
picture?
The
they laughed.
Did anybody take a picture of the?
The only time they laughed when she said that Trump was coherent.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's very coherent.
And, yeah, and she should talk.
And then they laughed at that, which I thought was
the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
Right, but there, somebody also said, did anybody take a picture of the deafening silence? Which I thought was great.
Well, her comment was, I did all right. I didn't get booed.
She's like...
And there's another interesting story that since all of this has happened in the last 5 or 6 days, the Trump campaign, that the rallies actually have been fairly, according to many people who have gone, boring because they haven't erupted into protests, and so they're noticing the number of people are going down, so they're not seeing, like, they're going to the hockey game and the fights aren't breaking out and they don't like it.
That's
hurting the price of admission.
Trump can fix that.
Yeah.
Well, I am not a Trump supporter, as you all know. But however, I do think that the press has been jumping on every possible story that will embarrass Trump. I do.
Yes, I agree with you there, and with good reason.
I think he's done a good job there embarrassing himself, and I am intrigued by the idea. I brought it up the other day that Chris Matthews did this. Chris Matthews didn't do a phone interview, and Chris Matthews is a racial bad. I called him a master interrupter. He's as bad as Trump. I hate listening to him normally, but Trump was flummoxed by him and blurted out stuff, which he has not done up to now.
And he certainly had. I mean, he'd been on Chris Matthews a billion times prior to that, and had always done okay. But it was. I think that one-on-one.
He can't do it. He can't do it unless he's controlling everything. I mean, I saw this mashup of his one-on-one with Anderson Cooper, and Cooper couldn't get a word in edgewise
either. I think he ran roughshod over Cooper. I was really frustrated with him. And then I watched Chris Matthews, who, as I say, normally I can't abide, and it was, that's what it takes. That's how you got through to him.
Yeah, right.
When he held up the hand, you go, excuse me.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Chris Matthews didn't even see it, whereas Anderson every time was shut down. So I'm going to talk about it with my class today.
There you go.
So I think Trump has made some mistakes, but he is facile and quick and smart. And he wants this badly right now. So to rule him out by saying Ted Cruz is going to beat him, no, I think that's way premature.
I'm still not convinced he really wants this.
Let's. That's also making a lot of news this weekend as well. Let's. We have to wrap up. Time is done. But we thank our panel, and we'll be back tomorrow and do it again. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll be back tomorrow. And the roundtable will continue after this short break.
It went really fast.